Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Hey folks, let's talk about our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. For a limited time, go to BobSeska.com right now and click the all caps Mueller Report link to purchase the full text of the most important investigation of our time. The report that Donald Trump says you're not allowed to see after declaring executive privilege over the entire damn thing. Stick it to Trump and get your copy now, damn it. Amazon has everything and so can you when you go shopping through our Amazon link at BobSeska.com. Just click the all caps Amazon link just beneath the logo and you're all set. Using our link will take you to the front page of Amazon where you shop as normal, but because you used our link, we receive a small commission on some of your purchases. Thanks for shopping through our Amazon link, and now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Good morning, Gabe.
Morning, Mom.
Elena.
Oh, my, I almost forgot Jennifer Parker called.
Oh, I sure like her, Marty. She is such a sweet girl. Isn't tonight the night of the big date?
What? When, Ma?
Well, aren't you going up to the lake tonight? You've been planning it for 2 weeks.
Well, Mom, we talked about this, but how can I go to the lake? The car's wrecked.
Wrecked?
Wrecked?
What happened to
when the hell did this happen? And why
is it? I'm sure the car is fine.
Why am I always the last one to know about these things?
See, there's Biff out there waxing right now. Now, Biff, I want to make sure that we get 2 coats of wax this time, not just one.
Just finishing up the second coat now.
Now, Biff, don't con me.
I'm sorry, Mr. McFly. I meant I was just starting on the second coat.
Yeah, Biff, what a character. Always try to get away with something.
Bob Seska!
You only drink when someone else says hi, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, May 9, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. It is the greatest soap ever. Hello, my name is Bob. What's up?
Hello, Bob.
Day 840 of the Trump crisis, day 2 of the constitutional crisis, 544 days until the 2020 presidential election, and enough of me. We got to talk to the Goth Ninjas. Yeah! All right, Jody Hamilton from the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, the From the Bunker Podcast, sexyliberal.com, also David Ferguson, T-Rex from the T-Rex Report Podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report, links in the description, blah, blah, blah. I was just saying,
you know, every time you do that, I raise both my fists in the air, like I make the V, like it, Goth Ninjas!
Ninjas unite!
That's what everyone has to do, unless you're in heavy traffic and you need both hands on the wheel in the 10-2 right. position. Unless you're doing that, you can indeed raise your fists in solidarity with the Goth Ninjas, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and then sigh heavily.
Exactly. Just go, I'm so bored with this. Yeah. Yeah. You know what we watched a couple of days ago? I had to actually order it because it's not on streaming anywhere. Is I picked up a copy, and you could only get it on DVD, too. So I actually purchased a DVD through Amazon, and it was the movie Pump Up the Volume, which is sort of like the quintessential, to me, like the quintessential Gen X or latter day Gen X movie where...
I hate to admit it, I've never seen it.
Oh my God, you have to see that movie. What's wrong with you? I finally picked it up and I can't wait to talk about it at length. So we're going to have to do like a Gen X podcast at some point in the future. I registered the domain name, thegenxpodcast.com. So at some point I'm going to have to do something.
Well, actually, it's so Gen X to just register it and then be apathetic about it.
You're exactly right. That's exactly true.
Oh, what's the point?
Yeah, I know. Well, so Donald Trump did a rally last night in Florida.
Thank you, Florida.
And lots of things happened during that rally. And
I missed this entirely. You're going to have to fill me in.
Well,
you're going to love this.
Yeah, one of the things that I noticed, I don't think anyone else has noticed this, but Donald Trump was doing a whole jag about
China.
He was talking about China.
China.
And so he wanted to say the words for China. It sounded like he was saying vagina.
Vagina.
Just shouting vagina. So it's like, so somehow he got from
China
to, whoops. Where? How did that button happen too? Did I?
What's going on with your box, Bob?
Something's wrong with
my
mind. Is that going to do that again?
China.
I guess not. Okay, so.
Vagina.
There's him saying vagina.
Oh, wow.
Donald Trump. He's so weird. But that was not obviously the most offensive or weird thing of the entire address. Sweaty, screaming, gesticulated Donald Trump in complete darkness. his rally last night. I'm not exaggerating. The lighting was all fucked up. Yeah.
Oh, it was like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it was exactly. That's right. It was the Game of Thrones cinematographer did the lighting for the Trump.
I saw Game of Thrones, but I couldn't see it.
Vagina!
That's exactly what happened.
I watched it, but I couldn't see it.
Well, the people behind him were well illuminated, including the little girl who kept yawning throughout the entire thing. That was,
she's that was all smart. Of us now. Yeah, that's me.
Yeah. But, yeah, so in addition to shouting out vagina.
Vagina!
Trump, you know,
for
here's...
China.
Here's something, you know, I'm really into all of Donald Trump's little idiosyncrasies, all the things that makes him an iconoclast, someone who's just fucking weird. Just, I mean, on top of everything else, Donald Trump is a weirdo, and that's on top of Donald Trump being a fucking idiot.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
But on top of all of that, he's just so phenomenally weird. And one of the things I've noticed over the years is that Donald Trump never laughs out loud.
Never heard him laugh.
Yeah, we'll try to find a clip of Donald Trump literally laughing out loud, like ha 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 ha. Like, I mean, sometimes he smiles and sometimes he'll go, heh. But never ever an actual laugh from that guy until someone jokes or actually blurts out the idea of shooting one of the refugees at the border, and then Donald Trump immediately turns into Robert De Niro on Cape Fear. He's just like, Donald Trump thinks it's hilarious. The idea of...
He did laugh? I've never seen him laugh.
Well, kind of. He laughed a little bit. He certainly didn't say, all right, enough. Don't joke about shooting people at the border.
God. Oh, just one of his biographers said, you know, he's a sucking black hole of need. He constantly needs attention. He has the attention span of a two-year-old. Yeah. And he never laughs.
Right.
He never, ever laughs.
Nope, never, ever. Except when they're talking about shooting innocent people. That is obviously just a big knee slapper for Donald Trump.
We got to get out of here, y'all. I think it's too late. I mean, my state just passed this completely outrageous bill, this abortion bill that says that they're going to re-implant ectopic pregnancies. Like, that's science fiction.
That doesn't
happen. This is a procedure that does not exist.
Right, right.
Like, I just, you know, we got to, like, please stop trying to write legislation about women's bodies if you do not have one or do not know how they work.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about this Georgia abortion law, where basically it's this random marker they've identified in the development of a fetus, where as soon as the heartbeat happens, then you can't have an abortion anymore. And apparently this part of fetal development occurs at 6 weeks, which is about 2 weeks after your period, which means some women, and by some, I mean most,
don't even know they're pregnant until
the deadline passes for actually having an abortion in Georgia.
Well, the lady in the room,
yes.
Most women, unless they're regulated by hormones, which you can still get pregnant on,
Yeah.
It's difficult, but it can happen. I know a friend of mine that did, so it can happen. But if you're not regular, so to speak, or not paying attention and writing down every time, and or you're trying to get pregnant and you're looking to make sure when you're missing your period, you're not going to pay attention. Especially most women are irregular in their early, in their teens through their early 30s.
Sure.
Most women are super irregular. So like, okay, one time it's you get it in 3 weeks. Next time you get it in 6 weeks. Next time you get it in 4 weeks. I mean, it's very haphazard for most women. So this is insanity.
Yeah,
and apparently also because of how the bill is written, if somebody is vindictive, say a husband, boyfriend, father, girlfriend, whatever, you know, somebody that knows you can say, hey, she had an abortion. And it's up to the woman to prove that she was never pregnant.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. How can you prove? Oh, Jesus.
It's down here
in Handmaid's Holler.
Yeah, no kidding.
Vagina.
Yeah, precisely. And you know what? Meanwhile, like all of the intellectual dark web, the so-called intellectual dark web, which is just such a goddamn
how about
phony baloney.
Intellectual dim web.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the main guys in the intellectual dark web is the Ben Shapiro bot, the Shapiro 3000. with his overpowered neural net supplied by Adderall, the makers of Adderall. Basically, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, tweeted this yesterday. She said, 6 weeks pregnant equals 2 weeks late on your period. Most of the men writing these bills don't know the first thing about a woman's body. This is very true. Outside of the things they want from it. It's relatively common for a woman to have a late period plus not be pregnant. So this is a backdoor ban. And then the Shapiro bot's response was, it is not a backdoor ban. It is a ban on abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy, just like it says it is. I'm going to read this normally. I'm not going to do the Ben Shapiro.
No, it's good that way.
Yeah.
It's good in the voice.
It's better that way. It makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, my God, talk about a motor mouth of this guy. Motor mouth and monotone. That's Ben Shapiro. It's not a backdoor ban, he said. It is a ban on abortion after 6 weeks of pregnancy. So basically what Ben Shapiro is doing is he's taking it literally. Like, oh, no, there's no nuance to any of this. It's like just a ban. This is idiot. The fact
that in the dictionary next to the word twerp, there is a picture of Ben Shapiro.
He is
what
just,
the British would call a twat.
He is just infuriating. The fact that he's known as being some sort of intellectual online is just a goddamn joke. I mean, this is the dumbest thing I've ever read. He said the fact that this is early in pregnancy is the entire point of the bill. The fact that a 6 week old embryo is apparently just a missed period to you is disturbing. Go fuck yourself, Ben Shapiro.
Fuck you.
Exactly. So, I mean, he doesn't understand that, you know, what we just talked about, which is that a lot of women don't even realize they're pregnant when the 6 week, you know, whatever it is, deadline has passed where they can no longer have an abortion in Georgia.
Yeah. Here in Georgia, wealthy white women will continue to get whatever they need.
That's always been the case. Wealthy women, no matter what, have always been able to get abortions either in state safely or in another country safely. That's
right.
Never not been true. Since before Roe, and it will be true after Roe. So this only is detrimental to women that can't afford to do that. And it's going to kill women again. Women will die.
No, I think the court battles are going to begin immediately. A lot of, I hope that the clinics that continue to will continue to provide services to women, but I mean, it's just, it's a nightmare and it's all illegitimate, and it's just I want to appeal to the UN or something. Like, I'm being forced to live under this regime that was not democratically elected.
Yeah, I know, and this is happening all across the country. I mean, this is just yet another trap law where they don't ban abortion, they just make it really fucking difficult to actually have one.
But if you want to eliminate abortion altogether, because there's very, very, very few abortions in Europe. I mean, it's passingly rare, like 0.01% of what the numbers we have in the United States, because birth control is available for free and on demand.
Yes, exactly right.
But you know, want to stop abortion, hand out birth control. If you can't do, you can't do both. You can't withhold abortion and birth control.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just, it's, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, again.
Well, the point of these laws is to get it to the Supreme Court. Isn't that the point?
I guess
isn't the point to get it
really
to the new Supreme Court
because
that Roe will be overturned?
Exactly
that
right. That's exactly the point. That's exactly what they want to do. They're leading toward that. And then what they're hoping is that you know, Brett Kavanaugh and the and Neil Gorsuch and the rest of the conservatives on the court will overturn Roe, even though they have said that they're probably not going to ever overturn Roe because it is established law at this point. It's been how many years? 40, 46 years, something like that? What was it, 1972?
Yeah, 73 went into effect.
Well, meanwhile, all of the disciples of Ben Shapiro and this ridiculous abortion law are going around and they're kind of seizing upon AOC's missed period thing. And they're showing pictures of embryos going, this isn't a missed period. This is a baby.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's so a baby, dude. And you are a homesick abortion. Just
God
go away.
Damn it. I mean, as if that wasn't all bad enough. This is a story that's completely flown under the radar. This next thing I want to talk about, because we want to get back to the constitutional crisis. I swear we will. But these are a couple of stories that
it'll be there.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's not going anywhere. That's right. It's not going anywhere. Damn it.
It's just getting worse.
Right. So this other story, once again, solidifies the idea that Donald Trump doesn't care about women. Donald Trump wants to harm women. You know, there's a ban on female genital mutilation, right? Inside the United States. Well, the Trump administration has decided not to defend that ban anymore. It's a 20-year-old ban. Yeah, yeah. But this law was passed, a U.S. law, that bans female genital mutilation for non-medical reasons. The law was passed more than...
What is a medical reason for that? Does anybody know?
I would imagine some sort of tumor or growth down there that would have...
Yeah, that would be the only possible reason is cancer or an infection that's gotten too bad. I mean, honestly, otherwise...
Metastasized patriarchy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the law was passed more than 20 years ago, so it's been on the books for a good long time. The United States sought to satisfy international commitments to protect women from what was once a widespread practice in many parts of the world and may still be. A 2012 Center for Disease Control and Prevention study estimates 500,000 girls in the United States are at risk, although there's not a lot of firm data on how often it happens. But now the Trump administration has chosen to no longer defend the law, defend the ban, because they say it's unconstitutional.
What, for religious reasons?
Yeah, exactly.
So my question is, who's the donor? Who's the money interest that this is serving? Is it the Saudis? Is it the, you know, like, who is, like, pressure? Who? Because, I mean, Trump wouldn't think of this on his own. It would never occur to him. Like, so
it's incels because they don't know how to give a woman an orgasm.
That's right. God. I think it's that. Well, what happened was, as a federal judge in Michigan, Bernard Friedman ruled it unconstitutional back in November of last year. The government still had the opportunity to appeal the court decision, but it looks like the Justice Department isn't going to pursue it. Bill Barr's goddamn Justice Department is not going to pursue an appeal. So what's going to happen?
Are we going to start virgin sacrifices again then? Because that's a religious thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's what's so dumb about the... I mean, Mike Pence was talking about...
Just luck finding
one. Yeah.
Well, I mean, incels.
Yeah. I mean, they were talking about religious liberty at the White House the other day. I think Mike Pence was speaking about it. And it's, of course, the dumbest goddamn thing, because you can cherry pick anything out of the Bible to justify whatever the hell you want. And then you can get away with it based on, you know, alleged religious freedom. You know, this is why we have a secular government. This is why we have a wall of separation between church and state. You know, as it goes back to Ben Shapiro and the abortion thing, you know, Ben Shapiro can sit there on Joe Rogan all day long and talk about all the religious justifications against same-sex marriage, all the religious justifications against abortion, even though...
But I don't belong to his religion.
Exactly right. Exactly. Exactly. Neither do I. So why should I be subjected to his religious morality, even though I don't think... And it is intensely immoral to subject women to unnecessary pregnancy, to subject women to female genital mutilation. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, this is the Trump administration. This is the shit that we're not hearing about. And, you know, and we normally would if the entire administration wasn't loaded with crooks and liars.
Didn't the Church of Satan try to sue Georgia now because it's against their religion to force women to be pregnant?
I don't know. I don't know. Did that really happen? I don't know.
I believe I read it yesterday that the Church of Satan is now suing the state of Georgia, saying it's against their religious beliefs to force women to have abortions. I'm all for the Church of Satan.
Or not to have abortions.
Yeah, to not be able to have abortions, excuse me, to force pregnancies on women.
Something when I get too agitated about Ben Shapiro that I have to remember is that no one who's not on Twitter knows who he is. Nobody has. I mean, like, you're like, if all the people who came to the register this morning when I was working at the restaurant, if I asked them, do you know who Ben Shapiro is? None of them, I mean, like, maybe two of them would have had any idea who he is.
Well, you know, look, I consider Joe Rogan a friend. I have known Joe Rogan since 1999. He was my, Joe Rogan was my first ever client when I started my animation studio. I designed his website back in 1999. I made a cartoon of a monkey. I think his website was talkingmonkey.com. And so and Joe Rogan and I stayed in touch for a good long time. Not so much recently, but certainly throughout the early part of the 2000s, that was the case. But I don't understand why the fuck he keeps putting people on like Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens, who are nothing but chaos agents, who are billed as being some sort of, you know, kind of conservative smart people, even though they push for ridiculousness like this. And Candace Owens is the worst of the worst. I mean, there was some shit that Candace Owens was saying recently that was absolutely and completely counterfactual, to the point where the people around her were literally laughing in her face at how stupid it was, the things you were saying. I wish I could recall the things, because it's obviously, for me, it's lost in the fire hose of news somewhere, you know, 3 days ago, 4 days ago. It's like distant memories now because
Have
of everything that's going on.
Have you guys seen the clip of Laura Loomer freaking out or having a meltdown on Alex Jones?
Yes.
I just pull it up like 3-4 times a day and just watch it over and over and over. It calms me. There's something about her screaming about how her life is ruined. Nobody understands how ruined my life is. It's like pharmaceutical grade Schadenfreude.
Rub
it on my teeth, you know?
They're so whiny. They get themselves into trouble. They do horrendous things. And then as soon as they're called on the carpet for it, as soon as they're called out, as soon as they're held accountable, they're like, why, oh, why are you?
Stop whining.
Oh, God, the whining is incessant. But I mean, like, going back to Trump's rally last night, you know, he told this one story, and I only watched a couple of minutes of it, but this one run that he went on about this unnamed country and unnamed foreign leader, which the country may be the UAE, it may be Saudi Arabia, I'm not entirely sure, but, you know, Donald Trump obviously whittling a complex foreign policy all down to dollar figures and foreign aid and so on. So he's like, oh, you know, we give this country, he's talking about, all sweaty and screaming and gesticulating, and me just going, stroke? Are we going to see a stroke here? I want to see a stroke. I mean, that's it's almost like watching NASCAR. I want to see an accident. I want to see him have a stroke on.
Want to see some Novichok in that Diet Coke?
Right. So I'm watching this, and he goes, "This foreign country, they don't like us very much, but we still send them $8 billion." You know, he gets really screamy and screechy and shrill. $8 billion, and so. He said, but in return,
let's talk about $1 billion there. Let's talk about somebody who lost $1 billion in 10 years and was an actual sinkhole in the American economy, lost more wealth and value than any other single American taxpayer.
Oh, yeah. And we're going to get to that.
We're coming to that. I'm sorry.
Just a second. No, I mean, it's good to preview it. It's good to preview it. I always love talking about how Donald Trump is a gigantic loser, and now we have more evidence of that. Ha 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 ha. But anyway,
should talk about Bugger Off.
Well, no, not yet. What are you doing? You're like 12 minutes. It's ahead of the entire rest of the show.
I've had a lot of caffeine.
Like, early on, you're like jumping to the abortion thing, and now you're on Bugger Off for some reason. We're only 23 minutes into it. So slow down with your tiny arms.
I just love getting, you know, saying my tiny arms are flapping.
Yes, it's like I'm looking at, I'm like Jeff Goldblum in the back of the Jeep looking at the rear view mirror going, here comes T-Rex, man. He's going to overtake us here in a second and start his own show in the middle of our show.
I'm putting on the brakes. I'm cool.
Okay.
I'm calm. I'm steady.
So there's
this. I did
not
drink 6 sweet teas before I came.
So Trump is screaming about all the money we give to this one country. And he said, in return, all we get is $500 million. That's what they give us in return. Which, of course, if you reduce everything down to what we give them versus what they give us in dollar figures, of course, it's going to seem ridiculous. When you take into consideration, though, the foreign policy considerations, which are myriad, which are obviously as crucial, if not more crucial, than the dollars and cents exchanged between the countries. I mean, obviously, we have an interest in this country's success or failure. So we need to get, we spend a certain amount of money to maintain stability. There's a value in stability. There's a value in things that don't come down to dollar figures in foreign policy and so on. But of course, he's taking this and boiling it all down to we give them $8 billion, they give us in return $500 million. So he's talking about, he goes through the whole thing where he talks to a general. How much do we give that country? Sir, we give them. Where Donald Trump is now mocking his generals and advisors in front of his crowd of raving, screaming cult disciples. I mean, unfucking believable. And so then he says, I had this conversation. Then I called him up and I said, you got to give us more money. And the foreign leader's like, what are you talking about? No one's ever asked us to give more money. I mean, this is crazy. And then Trump talks about, well, that's because all of our previous presidents were stupid people for giving so much money and getting nothing in return. And so then he says, and then this is such a Trump thing. It's such Trump, the nouveau riche, gaudy, garish piece of shit with his gold-plated apartment, his vulgarities, and so on. Not just verbally, but he's just vulgar. He's a short-fingered vulgarian.
No, he's a total parvenu. I mean, he's a tacky guy from Queens.
Exactly, tacky. That's another way to put it. So he's like nickel and diming this foreign country who we give $8 billion to and only get $500 million in return. So he's like, $500 million, how much can you pay me right now? So he's like shaking down this country. It's like, how much can you pay me right now? And the foreign leader, who we still don't know who it is saying back to, because this whole conversation is probably made up. Everything I'm telling you about with Donald Trump is probably a made up story that he's just inventing on the fly.
Probably.
It's true. Yeah. It's something he saw in a movie like Sicario.
That's right. I forgot about that.
So, exactly.
You never forget that our president doesn't know the difference between Sicario and reality.
Oh, God, that's true.
I mean, it's just...
Yeah, I know.
And they actually sent people out to the Border Patrol, people going, has anyone seen any duct tape or this blue tape that we're hearing about? Because the president said it, we have to find some evidence of it now. It's like a literal snipe hunt. This is total, like, the madness of King George stuff.
He is such a fucking idiot.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Right. And and so here's what happened. So what kind of money can you give me right now? And he's asking this other foreign leader, can you write me a check right now for money? He's going, what the fuck are you doing? What are you talking about? And so the foreign leader says, all I can give you right now is $500 million. So Trump says, and this is what he says to his rally crowd last night. Can you go $750? He actually said that. Yes. Can you give me $750? He wants $250 million more. Yes. So he's shaking down this foreign leader for an additional $250 million, which in the grand scheme of the federal budget, which is what, close to $2 trillion? He's shaking down this foreign country for $250 million.
But what are these revenues? I mean, what is this city? This country is giving back to us. We're giving them aid in the form of what? Military aid?
A variety of foreign aid, obviously, to maintain some level of stability and economic progress in a certain part of the world. And it could be.
He said it was $8 billion?
Yes, he said it was $8 billion that we're giving to this.
Don't we give Israel $8 billion?
You know what? It might very well have been Israel, and that's why he didn't say which country and which leader. You know what? Oh my God. You know what, Jody? I'm so glad you're on this show.
Well, that's because I'm your legal counsel.
That's right. Yes. Because Jody Hamilton is my White House counsel for my future presidential administration. We're going to talk about that on the after party. Not at the after party, but the postmortem show coming up after this. But yeah, I mean, that's a great point, because what if that's Israel? What if he's shaking down Israel while at the same time referring to the Democrats as being anti-Semitic?
Right.
Donald fucking Trump.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
You have no idea, Lindsey Graham, how much of a fucking idiot he is. And this is just one section of, again, another one of these endless cocaine rants. We just go, my God, insult on top of injury, on top of constitutional crisis. And that, of course, brings us down to Donald Trump Jr. which is my favorite story, maybe favorite story of the year. I mean, this is something I've been forecasting for a good long time, and with my fingers crossed, just waiting and waiting and waiting for news to come down of Donald Trump getting subpoenaed, dragged in front of a congressional committee, interrogated for 11 hours like Hillary Clinton was. This is the thing that I want to see most. This is one of the reasons that I was so motivated with the midterms, and for a variety of reasons, obviously, lots of priorities all circulating around at the same time. But this was a huge priority for me, to see Donald Trump Jr. get his comeuppance in public in front of the world. But I never...
So he's been subpoenaed? Has it happened?
He has been subpoenaed. He, in fact, he was subpoenaed 2 weeks ago. And there's been rumors floating around that he was the one that actually leaked the news of the subpoena yesterday.
And it's Richard Burr, right? And so how Mitch McConnell saying, yeah, Mitch McConnell going, it's over, and then Richard Burr is doing this?
Yes, that's what the greatest thing about this is. I always thought it was going to be the House Intelligence Committee or maybe the House Judiciary Committee that was going to drag Donald Trump Jr.
Is it Senate Intelligence or Senate Judiciary?
It is Senate Intelligence, the Republican-led Senate Intelligence Committee. Now, one thing we heard recently, I believe it was either Mark Warner or some other member of the Senate. You know what? Maybe it was Kamala Harris, because she sits on the Senate Intelligence Committee. By the way...
She sits on Judiciary, I thought.
Oh, maybe that's true, too. Okay, I take that back. Someone was talking about how the Senate Intelligence Committee is maybe the most bipartisan body in the entire United States Congress. Like, it is... Right. Really cooperative, where the ranking member, Mark Warner, and the chairman, Richard Burr, really work hand in hand and try to come up with solutions for shit. And this may be another indication of that, or it's got to be another indication of that. I mean, because
wasn't Burr named in the Mueller report going over to the White House? So yes. He might be trying to cover his own butt.
Yes, that's true. And maybe that's the case. I know that he is, in fact, in the Mueller report, where they're talking about how he was running classified information up to the White House to inform them of what was going on behind the scenes in the Senate Intelligence Committee. But at the same time, I mean, I have mentioned Richard Burr quite a bit on this show and in my writing over the past couple of years, because if you remember, Richard Burr was also the guy who stood up with Mark Warner in a press conference and said that his committee was able to recreate and verify significant portions of the Steele dossier.
He said up to
a certain point, and that point meant we have to get Christopher Steele in for testimony so he can fill in the blanks with the rest of this. So Richard Burr literally confirmed in public on the record that a good portion of the Steele dossier, I don't know what percentage of it, but that his Republican-led committee was able to verify a bunch of the crap in that dossier. So that's Richard Burr. And so it's difficult to know where his loyalties are. But I mean, based on this, the fact that Richard Burr authorized a subpoena against the president's boy, his pear-shaped boy with his his stupid indictment beard, his hobo beard. We used to talk at the after party about Kimberly Johnson's book, Peyton's Choice. And then we came up with the idea of a sequel called Peyton's Choice 2, Peyton's Fetus Rides the Rails or something like that, where Peyton's fetus actually escapes. Because in this book, in Kimberly's book, the character Peyton chooses to have an abortion. And so we presuppose, what if the fetus gets away and goes on the lam? And
that happened on All My Children.
No, it didn't.
It did. It did. I'm not kidding. Erica Kane had an abortion in 1973.
Uh-huh.
And then 25 years later, that abortion was alive because of a mad scientist just harvested the embryo. And then her rogue son. I'm not kidding. Look it up.
Why was I not informed of this plot detail?
Hilarious. Wow.
Kimberly used to be on Days of Our Lives. So, I mean,
that's why, because she's a Days person and not an AMC person.
Right.
They're different networks. It's only different.
Well, so the idea was that Peyton's fetus goes and becomes like a hobo riding the rails, riding like in those train cars, eating beans out of a jar and having a little knapsack on the end of a stick, you know, like put the bandana with the stuff on the end of the stick. And so I was imagining like Peyton's fetus riding the rails with Donald Trump Jr. and his hobo beard. This is like, it's so much fun to imagine that.
Lord, I was born a rambling man. Yep.
On that note,
this is my suggestion.
Sure.
That, you know, Bob, before we started recording, Bob was talking about the difficulties having jogging on the treadmill.
Yeah.
Just imagine that you were running toward the public hearing for Trump Jr.
Oh, right.
And just picture that in front of you and your feet will fly.
Yeah. Well, the problem was I think I've got some sort of tendonitis in my heel from riding on the treadmill. I know. I already looked it up and I'm fairly certain that it's tendonitis because of the goddamn treadmill, which I hate anyway. It's like a machine of death is what that thing
could be arthritis. You know, it could be some degenerative bone disease. Yes,
you're not getting up there, Bob.
Yes, it is. Maybe it's osteoporosis. You never know because I am old.
I'm pretty sure that you've been getting enough calcium.
Okay, well, let's, you know what? If you're going to go riding the rails with Donald Trump Jr. and Peyton's fetus, make sure you bring along some Bugger Off Bug Repellent at buggeroffbomb.com. There's no nasty chemicals in it. It is DEET free. It's kind to humans and the environment. And it is my favorite bug repellent for especially if you're living back in the East Coast where there are all kinds of nasty flying insects, swamp insects, mosquitoes the size of buzzards that crawl on you and land on you and sting you and leave you all full of welts and awful things. No more as long as you have Bugger Off Bomb. It is literally my favorite bug repellent. It's a couple of podcasts back, in fact. You were talking about how your brother got, some bug repellent from India and how it contained eucalyptus and citronella, and that's what made it really good. Well, it turns out...
you couldn't find anything like that here.
Yeah, now you can, because Bugger Off Bomb has those same ingredients. It sounds very similar to what you were describing, you and your brother. Bugger Off is handmade in small batches by Karen Reese in the wilds of the Pacific Northwest, and I'm happy to report that it really, really works. And by the way, it smells way better than any of the store-bought repellents. Yeah.
It does. I have some, and I have used it because we have these evil mosquitoes in the summer that just attack your legs.
That's crazy. I didn't think that there were that many mosquitoes in Southern California.
Last year, man, it was the weirdest thing. We thought we had bed bugs at one point, but we were just getting eaten like the knees down. And like bad, it wouldn't be that itchy, but these welts were terrible.
Oh, God.
And it turned out they're these tinny, itty bitty, black and white Chinese mosquitoes that hitched a ride.
The tiger mosquitoes.
Yeah. And they can live in a bit of spit for like a year. They're awful.
Yeah. Those are the ones that carry Zika.
Oh,
they're
shit.
Awful. They're just terrible. And they just ate everybody I know, including Lonnie and me. So it's getting, right now it's nice and cool, but it's very humid. And so as soon as it starts to heat up, they're going to be back this year. So I've got Bugger Off, like several tins of it. I'm ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And don't you love, I love that it's not like a spray, like a random spray that can get in your eyes or if you've got.
And
like,
it doesn't say, it's not sticky or it's not like just weighed down on you. It's very nice.
Yeah. If you imagine, think about like when you have some really good, like organically sourced, locally sourced food and how that you get that fresh, clean feeling after you've eaten that kind of food without the preservatives and all the crappy chemicals in it. That's how you kind of feel when you're using Bugger Off Bomb. It smells clean and fresh. It's not going to stain your clothing. Plus, no more skeeter bites. It's another line of defense against any insect-borne diseases. Just $10.95 at buggeroffbomb.com. Makes a great gift for mom, too, by the way, but use our promo code BOBC for 15% off your entire order. Support this podcast by supporting Bugger Off Bomb and stay bug-free all summer long. Again, that's Bugger Off Bomb, buggeroffbomb.com, or just click the link on the podcast page, and we thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Yeah, need some normalcy. This is Brian Lissick and the Unfortunates.
Reminds me a little bit of Tom Petty.
Yeah, you know what? We've been getting that a lot lately. I was thinking more along the lines of like Elvis Costello. I thought Brian's vocals.
Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah. You know what? That's exactly right. Traveling Wilburys. That's a perfect comparison. The album is called Curtis Interrupted Us. That's the name of the album. BrianLissick.com. That's BrianLissick.com. Link in the description below. Thank you for supporting all of our indie music here on the show. If you want to submit, it's bobseska.com/music. Oh, love it so much. Love it so much. Thank you to all the indie musicians and bands who have been submitting all your great music. It's such a privilege to get to play all of these songs. And again, Brian Lissick and The Unfortunates on the show today. All right. Let's see what else. So we covered the little bit of the constitutional crisis, but not even all of it, not even close to being all of it. Again, my favorite news story of this week is that Donald Trump Jr. was subpoenaed. Meanwhile, we've got Trump's tax returns. Again, you know, this happened just, what was it, Tuesday night, about an hour after the podcast, of course.
Naturally.
Of course.
Yeah, that's when this story dropped about Donald Trump's tax returns.
I wonder what'll drop tonight.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my God. But what happened was is then the next day, there were all this other crap. The Judiciary Committee holding Barr in contempt, you know, executive privilege of the entire Mueller report. Donald Trump Jr. is subpoenaed. This is all stories that happened just yesterday. I mean, what, talk about a hell of a 24 hours, though. I mean, between the Jerry Falwell story, the Trump tax return story. The Jerry Falwell.
I'm sorry. I just, as an LGBT person, I just have to like relish the whole sex scandal, Jerry yeah. Falwell, you prick, you sanctimonious yep. dingwad. Just
dingwad might be the name of the show today. I'm going to have to.
You sanctimonious dingwad. Yeah. I just, it happens every time, and it's like almost like gay people have certain kind of crazy voodoo powers that if you come at us and you start preaching at us about sexual morality, you will eventually be caught making out with a pool boy in the elevator. You know,
that's it's just always like, what
it's. I mean, it's like, yeah, come on, televangelist, one more time, you can do your thing, and we're, you know, it's only a matter of time now before we catch you like coming back from Europe with your companion who's like a teenage boy who you hire to carry your luggage.
Companion.
No, that's a real story.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Have you ever had to use that euphemism, David? The companion. Oh, this is my companion.
Companion? No. No. I've always called people either my boyfriend or now my husband.
Oh, good for you. You're owning just, it.
Yeah, I never have been like lover. Sounds so like... In yeah. like heavy breathing bodice ripper novel, you know,
your lover.
My lover.
Good point. Good
your
point.
Lover. La 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 lover.
Yeah. Sure. Somebody asked me like, "Is he your lover?" I'm like, "He's my husband." You know, like we're together. But yeah, I see what you're asking.
He ain't my lover. He is my husband. He is not my companion. He is my husband.
We're married. We're not lovers anymore. What?
That's God, right. What's that blues song? It's like, you can take my husband, but let me keep my man.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. So Donald Trump's tax returns. Go from something that's kind of fun and cute to something that's horrendous and awful. But confirming. Yeah, obviously confirming everything we've all observed. I mean, I wrote this for the Banter newsletter yesterday, and it bears repeating that, good God, those of us who have lived on the East Coast, those of us who have lived on the coasts in general, have known about Donald Trump's ridiculous escapades for decades
since
now.
He started losing money in the mid-80s.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, it takes forever for all of that information to leach into the middle part of the country, which is probably why so many of the red hats believe that Donald Trump just appeared through a membrane into our existence at the top of the escalator at Trump Tower in June of 2015. Like, he's just, oh, suddenly he's this brand new guy. It's as if he's just born at that moment in time, and he has no history whatsoever prior to
June
23rd.
He first got on their radar, I think, of the birther thing in 2013.
Yeah, a little bit. And then, obviously, they knew him from The Apprentice. But what they didn't know is they didn't know all of the shit, right? Because they're thinking, oh, he's just the TV guy who says you're fired. He's just, you know, he's this guy, he's the art of the deal guy. So he must be hugely successful, which he's not. I mean, in fact, he's the biggest loser. This podcast makes more money than Donald Trump made, at least in terms of his tax liabilities, between 1985 and 1994.
It's truly amazing to me. It's truly amazing to me that he managed to flush $1 billion in 10 years. That is
$1 billion.
That's losing, like, I think $43,000 a day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like $17,000. I mean, it's just, I can't. I think the math is just unreal on it. Like, I mean, you would have to just be like literally like throwing bundles of money into the fireplace.
I know.
And setting them on fire.
Yeah.
He would have lost less.
Yeah. I mean, think about that total amount of money, Jody, where it's, I think it's actually, the actual number is $1.17 billion lost over the course of 10 years and reported on his tax returns as a shelter. Let's make no mistake about this. It's all a shelter for his income. And so he has to pay very little in taxes, if no money in taxes for 8 of the 10 years.
Except for that 1 year, he inexplicably made $89 million in interest.
Yes, which
whatever
is...
Whatever that was, it's like,
Again, tax fraud. He's committing tax fraud. He is a tax cheat.
That is total money laundering. Yeah. That is total money laundering. That is some Russian gift from somebody of, you know, that he was just like, oh yeah, that's interest I've earned off my properties.
Yeah, right, sure. Yeah. But they discovered that there was nothing that earned him that kind of interest from that year. So there's no way. Right. But the fact is that, I mean, again, going back to the full number of the loss, $1.17 billion.
Oh, no, somebody said to me, well, at least he had it to lose.
Well, I mean, look.
That's not his money, all of it.
It's not his money.
The investors in Trump Airlines and Trump Steaks and Trump Water and Trump Cologne and Trump Magazine and Trump, I mean, everything that had his name on it sank like a bomb.
And his little cult following, well, at least he had it to lose. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you could actually... take $100 million off of that total loss, and he still will have lost $1 billion. You know what I mean? It's just like a colossal amount of money. You cannot. I mean, if that money was in the largest bills possible, the largest denominations possible, in a giant stack, imagine the stack of money in Breaking Bad in the storage space that they had, where it was just like this giant, like it was almost like a king size bed made of cash. And in fact, one of the guys just lays down on it and just wants to know what it feels like to sleep in all of that money. But I mean, that isn't even
Romney.
Yeah. But that wasn't even anywhere close. That was somewhere around, I would say, I think, just remembering back to the show, probably around $100 million. They didn't know what to do with that. In fact, it was more trouble than it was worth to have that amount of cash laying around. Donald Trump lost that and $1 billion more over that period of time. And it, obviously, this is a tax scheme. How do we know that Donald Trump is a tax cheat? Well, he admitted it on Twitter yesterday like a fucking idiot.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Yes. He confessed yesterday. This is amazing. He said on Twitter yesterday, this is the second part of a two-part tweet. He says, you always wanted to show losses for tax purposes. Almost all real estate developers did, and often renegotiate with banks. It was sport, he said. Additionally,
what?
Yeah, he called it sport. He basically confessed to fabricating gigantic losses to get out of paying any taxes for 8 out of 10 years from 1985 to 1994. Staggering criminality here. And he just confessed to it like a goddamn idiot. You know, it's like Jess Dweck tweeted this. She said, to prove I'm not dumb at business, I will admit to tax fraud. That's right. Donald Trump. In order to get away, because Donald Trump would rather be seen as a crook than a loser. That's Donald Trump's mindset. Like, oh, God, heaven forbid I be seen as a loser and lost all this, like $1 billion. I'd much rather be seen as a crook because, you know, you're letting me get away with it, right? You
His
Democrats
dad just kept dumping more money on him, and he just kept he would like make it stick to other people's money and then lose it. And then it just
Right. So they were actually able to go back through Fred Trump's tax returns too and kind of compare and contrast and learn that Fred Trump was making all kinds of money for that 10-year span. I mean, he was actually showing a profit for, I think, all years except for one. And the 1 year he showed a gigantic loss, and that was lost because he gave like $15 million or something like that to Donald Trump.
So didn't he buy like chips at one of his casinos and just walked away with the chips and just left the money there?
Really?
I heard that he bought like $1 million in chips at one of the casinos and just kept the chips and didn't, you know, gamble them.
Oh,
he just held on to them.
Why does that not surprise me at all?
That makes total
sense.
How to bail out the baby one more time.
Yeah. And the Red Hats all think that this is great. Like, oh, Donald Trump, he's just a big risk taker. And sometimes when you take a risk with money, you come up short. And that's just all part of playing the game. That's what they were saying on the giggling couch tumors the other day.
Ugh,
Jesus.
Staggering.
Yeah, it's just, but I mean, like I said, have said many times in the past, like, as far as the Fox News people are concerned, he is their alcoholic father.
Yeah.
And he can beat them as much as he wants.
Right.
And they still come sniveling back for more. They will find ways to justify, rationalize, and explain away everything.
Well, it's
he literally could shoot someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue and they could be like, that person had it coming.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It's literally the cultural grievances thing that keeps his base intact, because they don't care about any of these details. All they care about is that he is feeding their resentments.
Yeah, he's going to screw over the feminists and own the libs and all the brown people.
Yeah, you know, and I've had this fantasy lately about quizzing some of my Trump-supporting family members about certain aspects. Like, I want to talk to them about the Affordable Care Act, for example. I was like, you know, do you think it's okay that health insurance companies used to be allowed to kick you off your insurance as soon as you got cancer or as soon as you were in a car accident and you needed the insurance the most? And then they finally say, well, it's too expensive. Bye. You're no longer covered. You're off. It's called rescission. I just want to ask them, is that okay with you? Is that okay that they were allowed to do that? You're cool with that? Because if you overturn the Affordable Care Act, we're going back to that. Yeah, I just want to ask these questions because really, I get it. I get that Donald Trump represents all of their petty grievances and all of their whiny bitching about, you know, Obama and the Democrats and the transgender bathrooms and blah, blah, blah. But at some point, you got to say, look, I need to defend my own health care here. And I'm not, you know, I saw all kinds of people last night at his rally last night. Donald Trump was talking about, we got rid of the mandate. You know, this is a stupid thing where he stretches his arms and we got rid of the mandate. Now love me, love me, love me. And the people behind him clapping, yay, he got rid of the mandate. Mm-hmm. I assure you, probably two thirds of the people there applauding the elimination of the mandate never had to pay the mandate in the first place because they probably had either Medicare or employer-based insurance.
Right.
You know, so it's just like, what are you applauding? Do you even understand what you're applauding? Or is it just like, it's the cruelty? The cruelty is the point, and it doesn't even matter if you're steamrolled by your own cruelty. It doesn't even matter if you lose your own health insurance because of your insatiable appetite for cruelty against anything that isn't Donald Trump. Just amazing to me.
Well, when the Affordable Care Act passed, a family member of mine was like, I can't get pregnant. Why do I have to pay for maternity coverage? And it's like, okay. Okay, I'm never going to have a child, nor do I have a prostate, and I'm fine with paying for men's prostate care, and I'm fine for paying for women's maternity care. It's called an insurance pool.
Yes.
I have insurance on my house. I hope my house never burns down.
Right.
Or any other problem happens to it. But I'm paying insurance so that the guys whose houses do burn down get covered.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how it works.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Again,
I have a quick question.
Again, there's more substance to just the dollars and cents of it. There's more.
Yeah.
I mean, it's greater than, well, I have to pay for people who get, I have to pay for Sandra Flux contraception,
control.
Birth control.
Right.
It's just, it's nonsense because what it feeds into, when you do, it feeds into the greater good. It makes, it lowers costs. It, you know, it improves care. You know, these are all things that you can't necessarily put an immediate dollars and cents value on. It's not black and white. There are nuances to it. And I understand that, you know, the internet is where nuance goes to die. Well, Trumpism is where nuance goes to die, too. And I think at some point they really need, because he was, again, bragging last night, we're going to get rid of it anyway. I mean, don't worry. I mean, we weren't able to do it. Of course, he threw John McCain under the bus again because he likes to attack dead people who can't defend themselves or call him an asshole. So, you know, he talked about how, oh, John McCain, this guy comes up and he does the thumbs down. Bah! And then he talked about how, well, don't worry about it. Don't fear. We're going to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
I don't know how you watch it still. I mean, I couldn't watch that. I'm so exhausted by him at this point.
Yeah.
Every time I hear him on the radio, I turn the volume down.
Well, I told you, I know. I can tell you exactly why I watch it. I wait. It's like, again, it's like watching NASCAR. You wait for the crash.
Okay. But it just, God, it just, the implications beyond this, just in terms of like what's the fires that are burning right now that may never get put out. Just just the craziness.
I know. But I mean, it's just like there's something appealing to the idea of like watching him talk, doing that like whole bit about how his advisors come up to him and go, sir, here's how much we spend on that country, sir, $8 billion, sir. And then suddenly And then suddenly he collapses in just a heap on the stage. And I was like, like last night.
You're waiting for the blood vessel to pop in his brain.
Yeah, just I want to hear the thumping noise as he collapses to the ground. You know, and I hate to say
it's kind of like a rim shot almost, but.
I mean, I've tried not to go there because I don't want to wish death on the man. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that sometimes when I watch him speak, that I have this gross fantasy that he's just going to go down. That finally his heart's just
going to
go. I thought
you were doing that with your hands. That's a button, isn't it?
That's actually, yeah, it's a button. It's a button called body falling down. there goes Donald Trump. That's what they like this. He'll just shout vagina.
Vagina!
And then fall down. All right.
Look, a talking kitty. Remember that Kids in the Hall sketch where the blood's squirting out of the guy's ear, but he's on his first date and he's not going to let it go for anything?
Yes. So awesome.
She's like, are you okay? And finally he goes, look, a talking kitty. And his face plants on the table.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Classic. Perfect. All right. Let's take one last break and we'll wrap up the show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Brain of monkey, body of man. The monkey man is what I am.
It's a band called Purple Brown. The song is called Monkey Man. I love this song. This is so much fun. This is actually the husband of a very good friend of mine from high school.
Wow.
I was in this. I was in art class for 4 years. We were sort of that was mainly the centerpiece of my clique in high school. This table of us, four of us, who sat around in art class, and it was me and my friend Jay Overcash and Nicole Bashaw and Chris Sampson. And this is Chris Sampson's husband, Ron Telford, and this band called Purple Brown. It's so great, you know, catching up with people through Facebook and finding out that they're married to really talented people.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's not generally how it goes when I look up people from my high school.
Well, you have to imagine, like, we were a, I don't know even how to describe the clique that we were in. We didn't like the other cliques. We sort of would just sit around the art table and make fun of everybody else. That was kind of, I guess you could define our clique as the making fun of everyone else clique. That's what we kind of did.
Yeah, I know you. I know who you guys were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smoking in the bathrooms over by the art department. Yep. Danny Milbank got his press pass confiscated.
Oh, shit,
how many
people
have had their press passes taken away now?
I don't know.
Is this a thing?
It's been
I saw his complaint.
48 days since the last time Sarah Huckabee Sanders has had a press briefing.
Something like that. Yeah.
God, I hate that woman.
So do I.
Yeah. I mean, again, what they're doing is they're punishing the press. That's the whole point of this. There's no strategic purpose to this other than, you know, satisfying the red hats by saying, hey, look at us. We're sticking it to the press. We're sticking it to the fake news. We're sticking it to those people.
This is so, like, Idi Amin stuff at this point, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Except he's not, you know, actually having people dismembered, but it's just, And I just, you know, there are days that I just want to, like, email, like, every single news, like, cable news show and be like, why aren't you guys screaming?
Yeah.
Like, think shit is on fire.
Yeah.
now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess part of the thing is that they know that as long as this whole thing, I mean, the minute we get Trump out of the White House, everyone's going to turn off the TV and be like, oh, thank God that's over.
Yeah.
And just like ignore as much as they can for the immediate future. Like,
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. And you know why? Because when Trump goes away,
there's still Matt Gaetz and there's still Jim Jordan.
Yeah, there's still potentially Mitch McConnell. There's still potentially a lot of crap.
Yeah, and Trumpism.
All those judges.
Trumpism will continue to exist beyond Donald Trump. And one of the things that I'd prefer to happen is for Trump to be so badly humiliated that no one wants to talk about anything even remotely linked to Donald Trump after he's gone. So
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best case scenario, but I don't think that's going to be the actual.
My eyelid's been twitching for about 18 months now.
Right, I know. Well, here's some good news. Jerry Nadler in the House Judiciary Committee voted to hold Bill Barr in contempt. You know, the vote, you know what the vote was? It wasn't party line. Actually, some Republicans came along on this
good.
One. 24 good. To 16 was the vote in committee.
Good.
Good.
So now this goes, and of course, Jody, you already know this because you're my White House counsel.
I am.
This goes to the full House for a vote, and it's expected to pass in the full House.
It
and then
will.
When it does, it goes to the court for enforcement. And at that point,
now, are they going to force it criminally or civilly? Because in a civil lawsuit, that could take a lot longer.
They may.
And obviously, Barr is the head of the Justice Department, therefore he can say, I'm not going to charge myself with contempt on a criminal level, which is why they went civilly during Obama when Eric Holder, who had testified, who had given up documents, but when he was held in contempt, he said, no, I'm not going to hold myself in contempt, and they went on a civil route, which never actually got decided, I don't believe.
Well, fine.
I'm sorry.
I know, it's just like suddenly I'm like,
did you just find us? You did. You totally just like dad.
My
getting
view
out
is
of the
this
car.
Though. We can citizens arrest. My view is we just go and Barney Fife it all and citizens arrest people.
That's right. I think that's a much better option than your previous option, which was totally Debbie Downer. It's like
your
oh,
mom
I'm
has
sorry.
To come with us.
Shit.
I bet if your mom came with this, the world would pay attention.
Yes.
You know?
No, I honestly think that I mean, I'm ready to fly to D.C. myself. Just go to whatever, you know, watering hole these guys are at and start doing citizens' arrests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Mm.
Good luck.
Sounds like a great way to get knocked off by the Russians, honestly.
It's just weird. I'm starting to see cracks in the facade, and I keep saying this, and I keep hoping that it's true, but it never quite comes true. But with Richard Burr, and the Senate Intelligence Committee. And now Devin Nunes has signed on to this letter with Adam Schiff to attain. What is it exactly they're looking for? They're looking for the Mueller report.
The Mueller report, yeah.
Yeah, and the attached evidence. They want that, too.
The grand jury stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. And
they
so,
can get everything because it's a national security. They don't have to subpoena. They're literally entitled to it. They have to. It has to be turned over. It's not the same thing as judiciary or anybody else. It's like, this is a national security issue for intelligence.
Now, do you think...
I keep thinking, surely this is the end game, you know?
Yeah.
But it just keeps dragging on like it's... I sometimes feel like that, you know, the nation's getting dragged behind Trump's car like a dog they ran over.
That's,
you know, we're just getting, yeah.
Yeah, that's actually a pretty good metaphor because it's still happening and we're still waiting for the Democrats to. And you know what? I want to make a correction here on something I've been saying recently on the podcast and I think in the context of Salon and elsewhere. Is that, you know, I've been talking about how I want to hear the Democrats getting more ferocious and angry, still taking a strategic and centered approach to impeachment and so on. But I want to hear more oomph behind it. And it's not, you know what, I want to correct that observation and that demand. I'm not necessarily looking for yelling. I'm not looking for literally ferocity. I think what I want to hear more of is confidence and ownership of this approach rather than maybe go claiming. I don't want to hear the more, you know what I mean?
We've got to see more evidence that maybe he did something wrong.
Yeah.
No, guys, I'm sorry. All the evidence is in plain sight at this
point.
You know?
Confidence, an authoritative tone of voice. I think that's what I'm looking for. Like, who is it? David Cicilline was on, I think it was Rachel the other night. And you know what? That's the kind of language I'm looking at. Adam Schiff is doing it too. Jerry Nadler's doing it too. And you know what I noticed about Jerry Nadler? This is a complete aside. You know who Jerry Nadler looks like? Jerry Nadler looks like Gary Oldman dressed up in Jerry Nadler makeup. Take a good look at Jerry Nadler talking, and
I'm going to go Google his face right now.
And it's not just his still frame face. When he's talking, he even sounds like Gary Oldman doing like a Brooklyn accent.
You're right.
It's crazy.
What if it's really Gary Oldman and Jerry Nadler is dead?
Oh, oh no.
Oh, you mean Jerry Nadler?
you know what? That's who's going to play him in the movie of this horrific story that we're in. Yeah. It will be Oldman.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Oldman in that latex makeup that he used to play Winston Churchill. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's just like, see, wouldn't that be a weird conspiracy if it was Gary? It was really Gary Oldman, but Gary Oldman dressed up like Jerry Nadler. And so Jerry Nadler is really Gary Oldman dressed up as Jerry Nadler. It's not Jerry Nadler at all. But there is a Jerry Nadler somewhere else, like held in a room, like tied to a chair or something. Weird. Weird. I'm weird.
Ben Nadler and Ruthless People. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So anyway, but yeah. So Jerry Nadler. What was that? How did I get off on Jerry Nadler looking like Gary Oldman?
No, we were talking about people getting stronger.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm just looking for a little bit more fire. I'm not looking for fist pounding and screaming. That's what the Trump people do.
Because Fox News is waiting to pounce on that.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, they're totally like their whole plan for 2020 is the impeachment crazed, bloodthirsty Dems who want to overthrow the president because they have a personal grudge and just because they hate it. Well, I'm not sure what the motive. Oh, because we're getting paid by what's his face, Soros, to hate the president.
That's right. Oh, my.
Do you guys get that check? Because I haven't gotten my check.
I was just going to say, I've got a check sitting right here. I just got my check.
Okay, you got yours. Okay, good. So mine should be in the mail today.
$1.1 billion. Thank you very much, George Soros.
Yeah.
I'm all set. Never mind Patreon, everybody. Never mind my Amazon.
Yeah, we're good.
Yeah, don't worry about Bugger Off Bomb and Sherry's Berries. Oh, but did I mention? Oh, God, I got to give them another plug. I can't stop thinking about Sherry's Berries because they're so delicious. I'm sorry. I never eat like snacks like this. I never eat desserts like this. But they sent me some Sherry's Berries. Yeah, and I had one this morning, for God's sake. I'm completely addicted to Sherry's Berries, and there's a problem. I think I've got a problem. I think I need to go to Sherry's Berries rehab or something like that. I'm Bob, and I'm addicted to Sherry's Berries. By the way, if you want to buy some for Mother's Day, there's still time. Berries.com, promo code BOBC. I just wanted to throw that in there. I love Sherry's Berries. Okay, so Trump asserted executive privilege over the entire Mueller report. Because everything is crazy now. We're on the worst timeline. We're on the timeline where Donald Trump...
This is like a Schrodinger's cat kind of thing. It's like the report that you can't read because it's now redacted, but it was out there for... it's downloadable and everywhere, but it's protected by executive privilege, so you can't read it anymore. Like,
doesn't make any sense at all. Go
ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, how is any of this stuff going to hold up in court? Because clearly the Democrats are going to challenge this executive privilege in court. And
the whole point at this point is buying time. They're like people trapped in a safe that are running out of air.
Yeah.
You know, or cyanide pills or whatever you want to say. Like they're in the bunker, you know, and they're just trying to buy more time at this point.
They're in the bunker with Jody.
Right.
There you go. Please, you know, confiscate their cyanide pills so we can hold them accountable, Jody.
Right.
I will.
He has basically declared that every single subpoena coming from Congress is going to be denied. And it doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
They're just going to deny it. So I don't know. I guess this is going to come down to, well, a couple of possibilities. One, some of these people are going to get thrown in jail for Trump, of all people. I mean, it's like, you know, again, they're sacrificing their own asses for this fucking idiot. I don't understand that. Like, if we're like Don McGahn is going to go to prison.
Compromat.
Bill Barr is going to go
really
to prison.
I really do believe. I mean, Michael Cohen probably has something from everybody.
Point,
you know,
yeah.
Or somebody, or the Russians do. Or I mean, these are some nasty, crooked people. And just the whole fact that like Cohen was like, "Yeah, I'm going to help you out of this like racy picks jam, Jerry Falwell Jr." But I'm going to keep one.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, that's why the Jerry Falwell story is important. Obviously, there's the hypocrisy, and that's always the centerpiece of a story like this with an evangelical getting caught, you know, with salacious photos, etc. But with Falwell, I mean, the real big takeaway from all of this is that, Michael Cohen held on to one of the pictures in order to extort a an endorsement. Right before the Iowa caucus, yeah.
Bootlicking endorsement. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
To compare Donald Trump to Jesus.
I mean, Ted Cruz delivered his introductory or his presidential campaign announcement at Falwell's Liberty University. I mean, Ted Cruz was like knee deep in Falwell money and support, et cetera, fealty and so on. And Falwell went and endorsed Donald Trump, of all people. And we know exactly why. And then all we have to do is extrapolate that out to, you know, people like Lindsey Graham, for example.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
And, and you know, all the rest. I mean, now we've kind of realize, and I'm so glad you went down this path, T-Rex, about, you know, these other people. Like, it's very clear that there's compromise on Don McGahn or Bill Barr. I mean, I can think of no other reason why anyone would go to jail for Donald Trump other than they have to. They have no choice. Like, he made them an offer they can't refuse, literally. Either their brains or their signature is going to be on the contract, that kind of thing.
You ever heard of the Scottish Mafia?
No, I haven't. What's the Scottish Mafia?
They'll make you an offer you can't understand. Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll be here all week. That's with an A.
I forgot to give you a rim shot. Oh no, this is the
hey!
The new rim shot is the body falling down. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, oh, do me a quick favor. Justice Alito, are you awake? Justice, now do the body. Justice, are you awake?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, I just had to relive that moment. Thank you.
Oh, that's right. Alito was asleep during one of the State of the Unions. Is that what you're talking about?
No, he's dead. That's what I'm talking about.
Hoping for you're talking about okay. All right. Why am I getting him mixed up with the other one? Sam Alito.
They're all fascists. Isn't that the little puny gross one that died?
No, Alito is the replacement, is one of the George W. Bush appointees.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Oh, no. Who am I thinking of? What's his horrible name that, like, you know who I mean. I've blocked his name now that he's dead. They were like, went to wake him up in the morning. And
Scalia. Talking about Scalia.
Scalia. Yeah, Scalia, Alito, Scalito. It's all one thing.
I know. And it took me a couple seconds to think, Scalia. Because as soon as you think Alito, that's the only name that was in my head. So I'm like, well, it can't be Alito. Okay.
Never mind.
Great way to end the show.
Yeah, this is completely incompetent rendering of history from T-Rex.
Yes, this has been an impromptu edition of the T-Rex Report at patreon.com/theTRexReport. Okay, lots more to talk about coming up on the post-mortem show. I have to talk about my West Wing cabinet because apparently I've upset a bunch of people by not including them in my presidential cabinet, which was restricted by the number of characters on Twitter. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
that. It's fine. I'm going to be crying themselves to sleep last night, I promise you, Bob.
Oh, I'm sure. It's all just in fun. It's all just in jest. Trump's going after another ex-presidential candidate. We're going to talk about that, too. Plus, what the fuck is James O'Keefe and Eric Prince doing? Bad. Oh, no. They have teamed up. Eric Prince and James O'Keefe have teamed up in the worst possible way. All of that's coming up next on the Postmortem Show, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or just go to BobSeskaShow.com. Meanwhile, you can find T-Rex at patreon.com/TheTRexReport. Jody Hamilton can be found at sexyliberal.com or from-the-bunker.com for the From the Bunker podcast on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. All right, folks, we'll see you on the after party tomorrow and the Postmortem Show coming up next. Bye-bye.